Hey, it's Darren Johnson, Campus XM. Find us online on campusxm.com. Also, find us on iTunes. Type in Campus XM. I notice most of the traffic is coming from campusxm.com, not iTunes. So this is all me, you know. So if I am getting traffic, it's based on me and not some Apple algorithm. I'm getting good traffic lately. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I advertise the station in the print newspaper, which I'm going to talk about in a second. And, you know, that's good enough. You know, people see it. They get this intimate connection with a newspaper. And they carry it around for a couple days. And then they put it in a recycle bin. And it's recycled. You know, people say, oh, newspapers aren't environmentally friendly. I'm on the streets of Albany, by the way. You can hear it in the background. People say newspapers aren't environmentally friendly. But they're way more friendly than an iPad. You know, it's an iPad. You have to have kids and Africa mining like rare metals and people in China working these sweatshop conditions. They it's so bad at the Apple factory that they have to put out like these mesh you know, like safety nets outside the Apple factory because so many workers were working so hard all day long and they were jumping out the windows. They were just getting so upset. So you're saying a newspaper is less environmentally friendly than that? That's not environment. And, you know, what kind of, China's polluted. What kind of stuff are they sending out into the atmosphere? A newspaper is made with pulp in North America. And there's a paper plant right near my house. And it's as clean as a whistle. They have, you know, years and years of environmental standards have made the practice of making newsprint very safe. And you know, the trees that are taken down are North American trees, mostly pine trees and other winter type trees in northern climates, and they're replanted. You know, new trees are reforested. And so it's, you know, why would a business just cut down the trees and not replant them? So, and then the newspaper itself, it's not like a plastic bag or an iPhone or something. It will, if you leave it out to its own devices, it'll just biodegrade in a couple of weeks, you know, a rainstorm or two. Or if you put it in the recycle bin, then they'll turn it into more newspaper. Because many newspapers are made with mostly or wholly recycled paper. So they'll just turn it into more pulp. So it just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. This newspaper I'm holding here might have had two or three or four lives. So yeah, that's sustainable. I think the people who put out garbage like, oh, newspapers are bad for the environment, they're just not readers. You know, they're the people that have to like pose for selfies, and they also, you know, like the Apple workers, recently a selfie person fell out of a tower because she was pushing it too hard and trying to get to that edge of the tower with her iPhone, and kaplam, and there goes that. Whole life gone. So I have the latest April edition 2019 of Campus News, and I want to go over, I think journalism people and anyone who's interested in the media, and you know, this is Campus XM, is interested in newspapers, and it seems like most of the listeners to this are clicking on journalism related podcasts. And I'll try to, you know, put some other things into this so it's not just about newspapers. But let me give you a copy. And this paper has been growing. We're entering our 10th year at the end of this year. And so that means we're in our 9th year. You know, that was a little bit of hype right there. But entering our 10th year, and we're still going strong. We're still doing well. We're looking for expansions, looking for partnerships. And recently we added news boxes to the city of New York, so we're growing there. And I'm going to look to do something similar in the Albany region. I'm going down to a conference at the end of May in Philadelphia, so that might be another place for expansion. A lot depends on the laws in a particular region as to their news boxes and how anti-First Amendment they might be, but a lot of that depends on those particular things. So I have this latest issue. The cover is, in case you want to read along, and if you want to read along, you can go to campus-news.org and find it. Or it's issue 17 for April 2019. Or you could just go to a URL that I put the latest issues at. I bought a domain name a long time ago, and I thought it would be a good domain name, but it really wasn't. It's gotothelight.com, and it's based on the Poltergeist movie where they say, hey, go to the light, you know, that's where the goodness is, it's where, you know, the afterlife is. So a long time ago I bought gotothelight.com thinking, all right, maybe I can turn this into something, but it really didn't turn into anything. But if you go to thelight.com, it goes directly to our latest issue. So I use it as kind of a shortcut to get to the latest issue so I don't have to remember these long URLs. It's just gotothelight.com. So let's see. First story is Comedians Off Campus. Comedians, comma, off campus. So Dave Payone went and found three college students who were trying their hand at comedy. And, you know, you need three examples for a feature story. And he's a veteran writer, you know. He writes maybe a story every other issue. And it takes him a little while to pound out the stories, but he puts them together. And it's a good piece. It's a nice, well-written piece. I wish we had more of these in the paper. You'd be amazed at how many writers, even though we pay the writers, conk out. Like, they say they want to do it. And some might even be journalism majors, because we look for students first. And they say they want to do it, and I'll go back and forth by email, and then they don't come through. You know, and I'll send them reminder emails, hey, how's that story coming? And then they ghost me. It's even though they know they're going to get paid, they can't, you know, God forbid, I've written so many things in my life. If I had to write one story for whatever, $35, and I said I would do it, I would do it. I would go and get the three sources and write a capable story. And I was on an editor's forum where I got into, you know, a little bit of a conversation. If you had a stable of writers, would you rather have, you know, a bunch of creative writers that you know, might need a lot of hand-holding and their work might push the envelope and need more copy editing? Or would you rather have a bunch of workaday writers that do the job and they don't need much supervision and they turn in work that's clean, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be down and out in Las Vegas. They're not going to be doing that type of writing. It's not going to take you on an adventure. It'll be capable. It'll get the job done. It'll be professional. And my opinion was, I'd rather mostly have the stable of capable workaday writers, because my time is valuable too, and I can make up for a story that might, you know, might not be as sexy as it could be, but is capable by saving time on not having to edit it and writing better headlines and writing better subheads and captions and putting a better photo in there and devoting more time to the layout. So I can make a story that is capable, kind of, you know, present it better on the page. Whereas a story that needs a lot of hand-holding, I'm wondering what they say, and some writers send me stuff that pretty much needs a rewrite, you know, that could take hours of my time. And then I'm not devoting that hours to other things. So many hours in the day, I'd rather have the capable writers. And I'm not saying Dave doesn't have his creative moments. He definitely does, but he also turns in copy that doesn't need to be tweaked heavily. He did start off the story, though, with three jokes from the three different writers. And it's a good creative lead. It made laying out the cover a little bit different. You know, I have to break in with these jokes, and it's a little different layout on the cover. I'll see what pickup is at the end of the month, if there's any papers left on racks. That's kind of my, my sign, if the paper was good or not. If there's a lot left on, you know, there shouldn't be a lot left on racks, but if there's some left on racks, it means maybe it wasn't the best cover. But yeah, this one I put a picture of a microphone, a really good artsy picture of a microphone and the three jokes. But, you know, here's an example of an editor going back and forth with a writer. One of the jokes he put on there, the first three, was not really that bad. But as a proofreader, as a copy editor, I copy edit for grammar and I copy edit for spelling and accuracy, but I also have to copy edit in this day and age for political correctness. And one of the jokes was a comedian, you know, I forgot what it was exactly, but it said, you know, that everyone thinks he's gay and he's not gay or something like that. And it had a good rhythm to it. It wasn't bad. And I said, well, you know, that could be construed as him being, that there's, being gay is different. And then people might get offended. And this is on the cover of the paper. Maybe if it's on page 16, you can get away with it. But it's the cover of the paper. And that's, you know, people are going to walk by, parents. This is the time of year where parents tour the colleges where the paper's distributed. I don't think parents would be as offended. But, you know, some club on campus or... And I don't totally disagree with the point of view of student affairs professionals that want an inclusive environment. And I find the multi-gender bathrooms even, you know, more delightful than the old men's rooms. Usually what most campuses have done is they've kept the women's room and then they turn the men's room into multi-gender, which usually it has a lock so only one person can go in at a time. And usually that's fine. Or they turn the faculty bathroom into the multi-gender one. So that's fine by me. You know, I'll go in, shut the door, and it's nice and delightful. It's people seem to keep it neater than when it was just men only, or faculty only. So I said, hey, you know, what other jokes does this comedian have? I wrote back to him, and he's, you know, gave me a list of his jokes, and there was one that I kind of thought was passable, and I moved his joke to the middle of the three because I put the strongest joke at the top and the second strongest at third, and then the joke I didn't like as much in the middle, because just like running a relay race, you want your fastest runners at the beginning and at the end. So put those jokes in that order. You tell me if I'm wrong or not. You have to go and find this issue. Go to thelight.com to see what I'm talking about. All right, so it's a good story about their stand-up, and I thought it was kind of funny that two out of the three didn't have driver's licenses and they had to get driven by their parents to the comedy clubs. And, you know, that I thought that was kind of funny. That's this modern generation. They don't get their licenses as quickly as they should. The future is going to, there's going to be dangerous roads in the future, because I drive through these college towns and student drivers are bad enough as it is. But then if they're only going to learn at like 25 or something how to drive, it's going to even be worse. So what will happen is insurance companies will probably up the age. All right, then we have a review on page 2 of The Play That Goes Wrong. And that's our big giveaway this month, our tickets to The Play That Goes Wrong. It's an off-Broadway play. It's about to end. So I have a couple of pairs of tickets left. If you're interested, go and do the contest. Find this issue and you can get a couple. Not going to be that particular at this point because the play ends in a couple of weeks. All right, and then... Jesse Coelho, perfect your LinkedIn, land a job. And it's a story, you know, it's our typical bread and butter story about how to be helpful to students. Hey, perfect your LinkedIn. We have a little blurb on this guy named Jesse McCartney, no relation to Paul, who's performing at the community college in Utica, MBCC, in April. So you can go to that. He hasn't sold out. And those tickets have been on sale since January. I think if you're doing the community college in Utica and you can't sell it out, I think it might be time to hang it up. I guess he was a teen boy crush, you know, icon in circa, 10 years ago. And he's trying to keep the dream alive. Now, I'm a big believer. I've said this in other podcasts. We had a story on David Cassidy when he died and Keith Partridge, and he kept playing, you know, the littlest, crappiest clubs. You know, if you can still make money and you don't really have any other talent, you may as well just keep making the money while you can, I guess, even if it means playing a community college in the middle of nowhere. We have pictures of last month's contest winners. They send in a picture of themselves reading the newspaper. It proves it, like, younger people read the newspaper. I don't get these people who say they don't. They need to be spanked. A story about a student who's working for New York One Noticias. A student who got an honor, a professor who's visiting a school. And then Kaylee Johnson, my daughter, who's probably the strongest student writer for the paper. She is a junior in college, and she writes these tales from pieces. So she'd like went to a ghost town in one, and she went to a dance audition in another, an acting class in another, like Tales from something. And she'll write, you know, Tales from. And it's become a popular series. People write about it, and they'll tag it online and things of that nature. And it gets a lot of hits. Her stories probably every month are in our top five, I'd say, as far as hits go. You get to see the hits. And hits have been great lately. Tales from an Upstate Diner. So she wrote that one about... It's, you know, she has to change some names and locations so the person doesn't know. But we go to this diner all the time, and there's this waitress who's long in the tooth, and she's been doing it a little too long, but she doesn't really know what else to do, I guess. And she just spreads her misery from table to table, complaining about her life and her near-death experiences and her operations and all of these things. So she just spreads misery from table to table. And Kaylee waxes poetically about this waitress. So check that out. Then there's some jump stuff. The comedian story is about 1,500 words, so it jumps a couple times. Our professor, John DeSpagna, wrote about it's not too early to plan for retirement. You know, I don't know if that really hits the audience, but that's what he turned in. A 19-year-old at a community college. I don't know if that's the audience. Yeah, in an ideal world, it would be nice to save up for retirement when you're 19, but you know, I'm almost 50 and I really don't have that much. Hey, that's the way it goes. You know, I started a newspaper. I wanted to do business and I wanted to work for people I believed in, but that meant that I didn't save a lot of money. So what can you do about all of that? But yeah, he has a story about it. And, I don't know, should you save every penny or should you do business ventures? Because if you do a business venture and it hits, that's worth more than you would have saved if you were just taking like $50 out of your check every week for 40 years. You know, if you really hit big with something. So maybe it's better to do the business venture if you could eventually find a buyer and you know, move to Florida or something like that. So he writes about, you know, whether you should save or not. I don't know. I don't know if that's the core audience. They're just trying to get through school. They're probably taking out student loans and things of that nature. So kind of the wrong audience. And then whenever I ask someone who's saving a lot of money, you know, like they're living poor now so they can have money for later. They're, you know, they'll have like this, buy this huge jug of shampoo for like $1 and it'll last them 6 months. And that's how they're saving money. Whenever I have that type of, I bump into that type of person, I wonder what for, like why? Yeah, sure, you shouldn't buy, like, the $20 shampoo and just let it run down the drain. Fine, I get that. You know, I get saving a few bucks here and there. I do it all the time, save a few bucks here or there. But, you know what? You know, you're going to be 65, 70. I know so many people who died in their 60s. And yeah, you don't know how long you're going to live, but do you really need the same income that you have when you're 30 or 40, do you really need that level of income in the bank account? It's just like if you save a lot for college, then you don't get a lot of financial aid. If you save a lot of money, then, you know, you might not get as much of Medicare or those types of things. You don't get a lot of those benefits of being poor. And I was behind a couple in the grocery yesterday. They bought $250 a couple, and they had a kid. And, you know, middle of the day. Now, it's the middle of the day, but I've worked myself to a point where I can go grocery shopping in the middle of the day, but they bought $250 worth of brand name stuff, and I'm there with my generic stuff, $30 worth of generic stuff, and they, you know, have a food card, and they just use it at the end, no issues, no feeling embarrassed about it, they were, you know, nothing, you know, just put it in there, total, you know, then I saw them in the parking lot, and they had a nicer car than I had, so I don't know, what's going on? What's going on? So, yeah, I don't know. Save, who knows? Maybe if you own a home, though, or you can live cheaply in old age, maybe Social Security and a little bit of money is enough. You know, and you can work here and there. Maybe if you have, like, some kind of rental property or you wrote a book that makes money or you can adjunct teach at the local junior college. You know, so I don't think old age is going to be that bad. So there's that. All right, and then we have, I've been getting some wire stories, but they're unique to us. Rick Steves writes about travel to Glasgow. Scotland, Glasgow. Then we had a student named Joe Connors from Hudson Valley Community College write a humor piece about Bob Kraft of the Patriots, who was caught in a prostitution sting, allegedly. Then we have a story from Variety on Ricky Gervais. I don't like him for some reason. Then we had a piece that was special to us from a professor from NYIT. Don't build walls, build common ground, about, you know, Trump's plan is just architecturally stupid. So, you know, why would they even propose something like that? And the whole wall talk has kind of fallen by the wayside. I think it was just a distraction. All right. Nassau Community College has a new president. There's some Jewish heritage events at Rockland. Suffolk County Community College got a STEM grant. There's a guy from the Del Fuego's band. He's going to talk about becoming sober at a college in Massachusetts. And Five Towns College adds a business major. More Jump comics, puzzles. And then at the end, I wrote a piece. And it, I did a separate podcast on this piece. It's called Create the Thing No One Will Let Go Of. And you can find it. I titled it differently in the podcast world. It's called The Books You Keep and The Books You Throw Away. So I talk about, you know, what created is something. And I talk about it a little bit in yesterday's podcast. What's the thing that you want to create that no one will throw away? Or do you want to just produce pablum, you know, lots of garbage? So that's up to you. So that is this issue of Campus News, the April issue. A couple of other topics that I kind of scribbled down, and I think I'll end with maybe one of them, and I'll do another one another time. Maybe I'll do a separate podcast because it's already 11:09, and I have to pick up my daughter from school in about 15 minutes. So let me see. I have a bunch of things on here, a bunch of topics. I think I will talk about the Silver Alert. All right, so we're driving in today, driving into Albany. And on the highway, there are these signs every 5 miles. Let's say Silver Alert. And I'll post a picture of it. I took a picture with my smartphone. And, you know, because traffic was backed up and it was a safe time to take a picture. I wasn't doing a selfie on the Fordham Tower there or something like that. You know, I wasn't being crazy. And it said Silver Alert. All right, so that means an older person is on the run. And it said Silver Alert, and it gave a license plate number, and it said it was a gray Nissan. So, all right, Silver Alert, gray Nissan. Didn't say what kind of Nissan, just a gray Nissan. Could be a Rogue, could be a Versa, could be a Sentra, could be a Frontier. Who knows what kind of Nissan it is. So, you know, and I'd say I look on the road. I'm driving a Nissan now. I'd say a quarter of the cars in this area are Nissans. They're either Nissans or Jeeps, it seems. And then there's some Chevys and maybe a Toyota or two mixed in. But there's, like, Nissan is, like, kind of the go-to car if you want reliability but you don't want to pay a ton. So it's kind of like the cheapest of the Japanese cars. All right, so we're supposed to now, all of us people on the highway, us thousands of people, are supposed to be on the lookout for a gray Nissan with an elderly person that has somehow escaped. You know, he must have dementia or something. And we're supposed to find this guy. So we're driving on the highway, and we're, you know, now I'm kind of on the lookout. Where am I going to find this guy with the Silver Alert? You know, it's, and what am I supposed to do? I just saw The Highwaymen on Netflix, and I'll talk about that more in the next podcast. But it's about these highwaymen, these old retired Rangers, Texas Rangers, and they are put on the highway to get Bonnie and Clyde. They have to go track them down. Am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to, like, pull in front of them and like, just shoot them? Or what am I supposed to do with this guy, this senior citizen, demented guy? And then my theory is, too, whenever I see these, if they're good enough to drive, if they're capable of driving, I don't know, maybe just let them go. Let him go. He's capable of driving. Now, in his mind, he might be 18 years old. He might be going to his childhood home in Poughkeepsie. You know, who knows? And that's where they should have the alert out for him. Out in, you know, wherever the person lived in their lifetime. You know, he's in some kind of alternate reality right now. He's going in and out, maybe a little bit confused. But he's driving, and maybe driving is his comfort. When I was a kid, and a lot of kids are like this, my parents used to put me to sleep. They'd put me in the car when I couldn't fall asleep, and they'd drive around the block a few times, and eventually I'd fall asleep. Like, I don't want this guy to fall asleep at the wheel, but maybe that's his soothing thing. You know, I go on the road with my newspaper, and I kind of like it. I'm on the highway, you know, I'm kind of can think, and maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's thinking he's going to go see, you know, Estelle, his girlfriend from 1943. He's going to go visit her, and he's going to, you know, they're going to go, and he has a nickel in his pocket. They're going to go buy an ice cream, and then they're going to go go to the sock hop, you know, because now we're in the 50s. You know, something like that is going to happen. And maybe, you know, the guy is, this is it. He's having fun right in this moment. He's no longer in our reality anymore, but there's probably lots of different realities, and people live in delusions and all kinds of stuff like that. And we're somehow, you know, we somehow translate our delusions and our craziness to navigate this shared world we supposedly live in. And he's just somehow, you know, a neuron or two in his brain is off, and he doesn't have that connective tissue anymore that connects his delusions to a shared reality that we're all kind of in. So he's somewhere else right now, and you see it with the older people. They start to get a little bit more confused, and they kind of not quite know what's going on. But you see a little shell of their former selves in there. And I say, hey, the guy's on the road. He's driving a Nissan. He's in a Nissan Rogue or whatever. And he's having fun. So we're driving. And then, you know, traffic backs up. Because it seems like whenever they build a highway. And the big highway up in Albany is called the Northway. And then that connects to the Thruway. And the Northway is similar to, like, the Long Island Expressway. It's just like this long road. And it was built probably around the same time. My theory is whenever they build these roads, they just end up being full of traffic. So it's like as big as you build the road, somehow it'll fill with traffic. And they'll be stop and go. So no matter what, they could make it 20 lanes and it would still be stop and go. So we're in a stop and go situation. And we see a gray Nissan. It's a Nissan Versa Note, like my car. But it's gray. And the back windshield wiper is just hanging. It must have broke. So we're like, is that the gray Nissan? And we couldn't remember the license plate number that was on the board. And so we see it, you know, and it looked like the car had been through better days. If you drive a Nissan Versa Note or a similar car, that back windshield wiper is there for a reason. Because they built these cars in such a poor way that the back windows get filthy for no reason, practically. I don't know why. I think it's just the shape of it. It just gets, you know, it just gets dirty, and you have to clean it all the time. And if you don't have windshield wiper fluid, it's a pain. So this guy was, you know, we pull up, and it's an old man driving the Nissan Versa Note, the gray one, and he looks kind of, I don't know, offbeat. He looks like an offbeat guy. Doesn't look like your normal guy, because usually old people don't drive Nissan Versa Notes. Old people, I've noticed, want bigger cars with a little heft to them. So I see them in like the lower Jeeps, like the Patriots, like my wife has, or a Chevy Impala, or a Malibu maybe, or Cadillac if they have a few more bucks. And those are the kind of cars I see them in. Usually American cars. And a Chrysler like 300 or something. And that's what I'll see them in usually. There's a couple of young women pushing baby carriages. So the Nissan Versa Note is outside the wheelhouse of someone like that. Now you could say it's probably also outside the wheelhouse of someone like me too. I probably should have a better car. I was in a bad mood when I bought this car. Maybe I was feeling like the pinch of some financial crisis, because when you own a business you have constant financial crises. But in any case, we pull up and we're like, is that the guy that they have the the alert about, and they probably have this alert all over the state going, and probably neighboring states do. And because I've noticed these before, these silver alerts, they put them all over the place. So, you know, we pull up and we're like, is that the guy? And it's like, all right, remember his license plate. And it was started with a G. And then we get up to another one of those signs a couple miles later, and it says, you know, silver alert. And it said Nissan, green Nissan, but it started with a different letter than G. So we're like, oh, okay, it's not him, you know. But I was thinking, like, what am I going to do? Should I cut in front of him and put on my blinkers and get out and say, hey, you know, I'm citizen arresting you? You know, or do I go on my phone and call the cops and say, hey, here's this silver alert guy? Or do I want to be a narc? This guy's in some moment. He's at the sock hop with Bonnie. He's, you know, doing the twist and getting an ice cream cone for 5 cents. Do I really need to disrupt this person's life? So that's my closing thought on this thing. I think I would have let him go, because I do let people go. I once had surgery when I was 20, and they put me in a room with a really old guy who was demented, and I was on Demerol because the surgery was pretty rough. And the old guy said to me, you know, they gave me my my dinner, and it had a little knife with it, little butter knife. And the old guy was like, he couldn't speak. He obviously was stroked, and you know, they tied him down or something. No, they didn't tie him down yet. And he was stroked, and he was pointing at my knife. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll give you the knife. Because I think, like the people that supported Bonnie and Clyde, I don't know, sometimes I side with the victim. So, you know, here's a guy, he's suffering, and I gave him my butter knife, and I passed out from Demerol. And then when I wake up, he's not there. And the nurses told me he cut his way out of, I guess he did have straps on, he cut his way out of his strap, and he fell out of bed and broke his hip. So, you know, maybe he was in some way with it. He was able to cut himself out, but then he fell and broke his hip. So, I don't know. You win some and you lose some. So I probably wouldn't have turned in the silver alert guy in the Nissan. I think I would have let him go, because that's who I am. All right, so I'm closing this out. CampusXM.com. Find all the other podcasts there. I'd prefer you go to iTunes, though, and rate it and subscribe. Just type in CampusXM, no space, all one word, and subscribe, because then it'll always show up on your phone or whatever, and you can listen to it in the gym and do the things that you do in the gym. So, closing out, it's Darren Johnson. Read Campus News. Find this issue. Go to campus-news.org and find it. This is Campus XM closing out. Bye. It's a long, surreal, long time since I have felt this way. Ever since my big breakup, I've been out on the street.